And we're back. Welcome back, everyone, to the Higher Standards Podcast. It's been a while, guys.
Yeah, it's been about, I think, exactly 3 weeks.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I almost can't even remember the... It feels like it's been an eternity since the last time we recorded. Yeah. I know you two recorded without me for the last one.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's been about a month for me then.
Yeah. Wow. You know, coincidentally, the best show we I think we've probably ever done was... I don't know, what was it, Chad? Was it 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago. Yeah, was, okay. You know why? It was episode 69.
Yeah, that must have been it, yeah.
Obviously. Yep. Nothing else different about that episode whatsoever.
No. Yeah.
So I guess for anybody who's in the Facebook group, and I guess you'll probably know from the title when we post this on MTGCast and on our own hosting site, this is going to be the last episode of Higher Standards in the format that we know currently. The Higher Standards brand is going to continue on, but I know for myself personally, and I think for sure Chad, yes, we're going to be leaving the show. And Bob, I think you're kind of up in the air with recent developments.
No, I think that we can talk about it now or later. Do we have a format for this show, or are we shooting from the hip here?
I mean, I put together a very generic outline, but I mean, yeah, we're just kind of we're winging it this time. And I think we're going to go uncensored also tonight. So Chad, we're not going to get you in trouble with YouTube if we drop a couple of curses here and there, are we?
No, I'm just going to have to like splice in a Red Band trailer beforehand.
Okay, fair enough.
Sweet. I think my partner Dick and I may take over the show. We have to do some talking and just kind of, you know, I think the important thing is that we want to make sure if we continue on that we still kind of give all of the listeners here the same quality of content that we've delivered so far. And if we don't think we can do that because of time or whatever, then we probably won't. So you know what? It's always good to leave on a cliffhanger. Why don't we just leave it on a cliffhanger?
There you go. And I will say, I mean, and I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass here, Bob, but I have gotten more compliments about the show since you came on board with Chad and myself.
Agreed.
People have absolutely loved your insights. The fact that you have been out there kind of in the trenches, you know, traveling to all these GPs and doing all this stuff. And your insights have been phenomenal. And I've gotten nothing but just great, great feedback ever since we added you to the show.
Yeah, Jason and I were like the tabletop reporters, and you were like in the field.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, usually I'm supposed to have like sarcastic comments for that, but I'll try and be 100% serious for just 5 seconds, and then we'll go back to the normal show. I mean, that's very nice. Of you guys to say, and whoever sent that feedback, that's very nice. I don't get to check the email as much as Jason and Chad certainly do. But you know, that may change if Dick and I take this over. You know, it's been a lot of fun for me to be able to go and do that. For those of you guys that kind of don't know me very well, I'm 33 years old, and I started before college and during college. I was in a punk rock band. I won't give any names out here, but and I do think I mentioned that on the show at one point.
Yeah. I've seen the pictures, so it is real.
But I toured for a living, and I was telling Jason and Chad before we started this show that you know, I toured for 3 years and made music my living and did it before I went and got, I don't want to call it a real job because that was a real job as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But I got another job. And one of the things that really kind of floored me when I got back into the tournament scene was how much like the touring, the music scene, they were very similar. You know, when I was 21, sleeping on a floor or being the fifth man in a two-person motel room or eating top ramen every day of the week or dollar menu from McDonald's and, you know, spending, you know, 10 to 15 hours in a car every day or on a plane was, I mean, it was fine. Like that was cool coming home to a really small, crappy apartment and not having any money other than enough to pay my bills at least was totally fine. But, you know, I'm 33, I'm married, I'm probably gonna have kids soon, and so life's a little different now, and I don't know that I can do the tournament scene to the degree that I would really like to do it. You know, I'd like to be at every single SCG, every GP, and really hit it hard, but I don't know that I get to do that. I mean, just to be completely honest with our viewers, our listeners out there, like, you know, we've talked about the fact that I'm supposed to go to GP Costa Rica. And I just canceled that because I came back from a 2-week business/family trip to Hong Kong, moved into a new house literally 3 days after I got back. And it was like, man, do I really want to put myself back on a plane in a week and a half and just like go play Magic for, you know, what'll amount to 10, 15 hours, which is fine. But then I got to get back on a plane and go to work on like Tuesday. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, it's just tough. I it doesn't pay my bills and I have a day job and I have to, you know, perform.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll mention that right now too. We were talking about this before the show, but some of the best Magic podcasts out there are from guys where Magic is their living. Magic is their livelihood. You know, look at the Patrick Chapin podcast. Magic is his life. It is his career. He's a writer. He's a content producer. He makes money, you know, playing at events. You look at guys like Chewy, where, I mean, he works a part-time job driving, Chewy from Monday Night Magic and the Manipul, if you didn't know. But I mean, he depends on a lot of his Patreon stuff from his Magic podcast to kind of support himself. You look at guys from a podcast I used to listen to a lot, Brainstorm Brewery. All those guys earn a lot of their living through Magic, either as store owners or traders or just as content producers. So that's different for us because the three of us, again, we kind of have day jobs, so to speak. Like, I mean, yeah. Chad and I are in the military. We work for the U.S. military full time. And, it's tough because Magic's always been our hobby. It's been a great hobby, but it's like you said, Bob, the investment that you have to put into it, the time on the road, and all of that. It's just, it's tough to balance that and kind of have a real life.
And I should mention that, like, you know, the tournament scene, while fun, and it is, it's a lot of fun. You know, that's like such a small slice of this game, you know? Yeah. For those of you guys that don't know, like, I play a lot of Commander. I enjoy Commander, and it's totally casual. I am not competitive at all in that format. And
I don't know. I've played against your red artifact deck.
On a heads up, it's easy, but everybody has artifact. Yeah. I get hosed on a regular basis.
All right.
I mean, infinite mindslaver people is pretty fun though.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, and I play a lot of Legacy and Vintage, and I don't play Vintage really competitively. I mean, I have, and I probably will again, but I'm not looking at the lists every single day like I do a lot with Standard or Modern. Legacy, kind of the same thing. I've gone to Legacy Opens and Legacy GPs, but like, I'm really not that great at it. It's not my chosen format, but there's just so much more to this game than the competitive circuit. And it's really important, for people to remember that it is not the end all be all. The whole point is that this is a game. That's what this is. It's a game. Games are supposed to be fun. Now, you can take your fun seriously. I do. Jason does. Chad does.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's still a game. And you have to remember that.
Sure. So I kind of want to go back to the beginning as to because a lot of people may still be asking kind of why are you doing this? Why are you leaving the show? Why are you kind of shutting it down, turning it over to different people?
In the beginning, God created man and woman.
Tell me everything from the beginning. Well, first the earth cooled, then the dinosaurs came. So the main reason why I kind of started this show was because I was listening to a lot of Magic podcasts that Chad had kind of put me on. And the thing that frustrated me so much was the fact that nobody either talked about Standard or the people that were talking about these Standard tournament reports didn't play Standard. They didn't like Standard. And I'll give you some good examples. Monday Night Magic was one of my favorite shows. They would say on a regular basis, all of the hosts, well, I don't play Standard. I don't know what this deck's supposed to be about. Or I hate Standard. Or I don't play Magic. Like, I've heard Chewy say, I don't play Magic, so I don't know. And that was so frustrating to hear that. Pit Imps Podcast was another big show that I really loved. And I still do like the people involved with that show. But again, they were big on Modern and Legacy. They didn't care about Standard. And they would say multiple times on their show, well, I don't like Standard. And that frustrated me so much to the point where I'm like, Chad, if we're going to do a Magic podcast, because I'm going to give Chad all the credit in the world, this was his idea from the start. I'm like, Chad, if we do a Magic podcast, we need to do it about Standard, because I want it to be a show about Standard by people who actually play Standard, people who are out there playing it and know the decks, know the format. And that is kind of the beginning of why I'm leaving, because I'm not playing Standard right now. And the main reason is because I got a new job recently. It's still within the military, but it's doing something else that I'm not really going to get into the details of. But the big thing is I have to go away for training for a year. Like, I have to leave the state of New Jersey. I have to leave my family behind, and I have to go away for almost a year to do
the best. That's the best part of that whole thing.
If you say so. So, so while I'm away for training, I'm not going to be able to play Magic really, because I'm going to have to concentrate on the training itself. I'm not going to have the time to do that. And I've always said, like, if I can't play Standard to the level that I think a Standard podcast host should play at, then I'm not going to do it anymore. And that's probably the main reason, though I've got a whole other list of reasons also that we'll get into as to why I'm moving on. But that's the big one, is the fact that I always hated when people would dog Standard and Magic podcasts. And I don't want to be the guy that's like, I don't play Standard, so I don't know anything about these decks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. So I haven't talked too much. I'm going to piggyback on what these guys said. We started as something, like Jason was just mentioning, we started as something that we didn't see happening around. We both enjoyed it. We both enjoyed everything that we were doing. And we felt that, I mean, we thought that we were going to be the only people listening to each other every week.
Yeah.
And it turns out that we've got such a great builded community that the people respond so very well. And I don't know if it's due to the fact that Standard is so diverse because it's always evolving, it's always changing, but I think that we did the right thing starting with the Standard podcast only.
Yeah, because very few people actually did it. I mean, you have constructed resources, but they can they focus on multiple formats. There are no just Standard-only Magic podcasts out there. There's Modern-only podcasts. There's Legacy-only podcasts. There's Commander podcasts.
Yeah.
We are still the only Standard-only podcast out there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of players – I mean, look, I've played the game for when did Unlimited come out, Jason? The Dark is when you started playing, right?
Yeah, I started playing when The Dark was the newest set. So that was 93
started the whole thing.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, 20 plus years. Let's just leave it at that, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've taken big breaks.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I mean, you know, certainly. It's not like and I do know guys that have played for a solid, like, 20 years. So, but I've taken giant breaks in between that. But, you know, the thing is, I think a lot of people who, as they play the game more and more, you know, they enjoy the cards that that they bought, you know, like their first cards that they played with. And so you want to keep playing with those cards. So you go play Modern and you go play Legacy. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. Like, there is really something. I play lands in Legacy almost exclusively. And I mean, I remember playing with Exploration when it first came out. Yeah. You know, I remember how busted that card was when it first came out. And I remember I love dual lands because I remember when, you know, I could have like 10 of them in a deck back when there were no rules about that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's really cool. But, and I don't know what it is for me. I still think Standard's probably one of the better formats the game has to offer because it's always evolving and it's always changing. And you don't get this just, you know, you can like an archetype and you can probably play that archetype every season in Standard and do fairly well with it, but you can't. You know, you can't just get onto a deck and be like, that's it. You know what? I'm a Miracles player and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm good. And as long as Top doesn't get banned, I am set. That's it. You know, like I'm a lands player. I just said it. And as long as like Exploration and, you know, a bunch of other cards don't get banned, I'll probably play lands for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no,
and you really can't do that with Standard. I mean, you can make that a little more generic. You can be like, I'm gonna play control, or I'm gonna play aggro, or I'm gonna play mid range. But I mean, there's so many fluctuations with that in Standard. But
unless you play with Collected Company, then apparently you can play the same deck for like ever.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's standard has become blue doesn't need to be in your deck anymore. Green does.
Right.
No, and Soul Tie's done fairly well. But anyway.
Yeah. No. I agree with everything you're saying, Bob. But I think on the same hand, that's what's good about Standard. The fact that it is always changing. It is always evolving. And with this new 18-month rotation, I still think it's a good thing. But I think they're still kind of trying to find their footing with that as far as building these sets, developing these cards. And I'm going to say this right now. The Future League or the Future League or whatever the hell it's called is bullshit.
What's the Future League? Wait, what?
This, you don't know what the Future League is?
I must have missed something.
This is the team that they have at Wizards of the Coast that is, they have the inside scoop on the following sets that are coming. Like, so right now the Future League is probably got next block and the block after's cards, or the basic beta of the next two blocks. They've got those cards. They've got access to those cards, and they're all they do is they build decks with those cards and they play test. Which I think, what's her name? Jackie Lee is part of that group, and a bunch of other pros that they've kind of plucked from.
And they don't get to play competitively anymore,
though. No. They can't. Part of the deal. But they put this together so that, there are no, to try and alleviate, like, broken combos and things like that in Standard. They don't deal with Modern at all. They only deal with Standard. But honestly,
that makes sense, I guess.
The job they've been doing with Standard is pretty awful, and they might as well not even be paying these people, honestly, because clearly they have not identified some of the more unfun decks that have popped up in Standard lately. And I know this goes back to me being a hater of things like Blue-Eyed Heroic, Rally, but I mean, seriously, they're missing some of the most obvious shit out there. And
I don't know. I mean, look, maybe you and I are just different people, Jason. I like playing with busted cards and busted decks. I mean, not all the time. Like, wow, how do I get that kind of service?
Right.
You got to marry the right woman. That's all I got to say.
I did marry the right woman. She's in Las Vegas right now.
Oh, well, see, that's your problem.
But, you know, like, not all the time. I agree with you. If you have busted decks running around all the time, it's horrible. But, I mean, look, think about Theros. When Theros was out and, like, Mono Black was the deck. That wasn't even one card. That was like a combination of eight cards, you know,
right,
that just made it just nasty.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they had the Future League at that point, too, I'm pretty sure. And just they didn't catch this stuff. And it, or I don't know.
It might be one of those leagues where it's like, this is broken, but it will only be discovered at a certain point, or it'll only take over at some point, and there's a counter to it. So and that's what we were kind of getting to. It's all about, Standard is a complete metagame. Like, you need to understand what counters what you think is you're going to be going into for the next week, what you think the next week is going to bring. And that's how it's developed. And with the Future League, they're trying to develop, like, what is going to be competitive at the top the first week. And then they're like, if this is too broken, we're going to bitch that.
And this is the problem, not the problem, but this is how Standard is. Or has become. It's been this way for a while. You know, you can identify what deck is going to do well the first couple weeks. I mean, that's not necessarily the hardest thing in the world. But then the reactions and the ripple effects that happen because of that. See, that's what's hard to predict. It's like, okay, so
is somebody's house on fire? I'm sorry.
No, it's mine. My stove. You know,
his stove's on fire.
Okay,
stove is on fire, which is fine. It's supposed to be on fire. It's a stove. But, you know, to try and, like, figure out all of the ripple effects and reactions to that or those couple of top decks, I mean, Jesus, that's got to be mind-boggling. Like, I can't even imagine trying to start to do that math. Well, right. I can, because I try to do it all the time, and it makes my brain hurt, and then I net deck half the time.
Yeah. So, kind of moving on from that, though, I just and some people in the Facebook group, I think it was, who was it? It was Aaron, I think, mentioned that he, when I posted on the Facebook group that we were going to be leaving the show, moving on, new format with different people, he's like, I kind of saw this coming. And he mentioned me specifically. He's like, yeah, I can tell Jason's just been kind of phoning it in. He's been very just disillusioned and just not really engaged. And it's, that's 100% accurate because even, I mean, I know we had Rally and all that. And I in jest, I do like to hate on at least one deck per format. but again, it mostly it is in jest. Don't get me wrong. Like it's all part of a character that I like to play on the show. Whereas, you know, decks like Rally, they're just really good. Yeah, and you know, I like to hate on the really good decks. But it was towards the end of last rotation, before Shadows Over Innistrad came out, as we were going through, like, the Shadows Over Innistrad spoilers and getting ready for that new format, I just realized I just don't care anymore. I still have yet to open a single pack of Shadows Over Innistrad. That's basically where I'm at right now. It just... These new cards and Shadows, they're like, yeah, it's kind of cool, I guess. But, I mean, the excitement, the love for the game, the love for the format right now is just not there at all. And that's another one of the big reasons why I'm calling it quits for now. And I say for now because I will never say that I'm done with Magic. Fuck this game. I'm quitting. That'll never be me. Like, yeah. I've been playing Magic, like we said, since at least 94. And I've kept my cards throughout this whole time. I've sold a good portion of my collection since I've decided to move on. But I still kept a lot of my cards. I kept all of my lands. That's the one big thing is if you ever get out of Magic and you ever decide you're going to sell your collection, sell your cards, at least keep your lands. So you can always play in an Eternal format and at least have your mana base. And I've done that. But for right now, the desire just has not been there at all. I just kind of I look at the game and the format and I'm just like, I just don't care at all.
Well, man, how do you follow that up?
Right?
You don't care at all.
No, and that's when you realize, as opposed to putting on a good face, doing your research, and still doing this show every week, it's probably when you know you got to hang it up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of where I'm at. As you know, I need to talk to Dick and what have you, my partner. But I mean, if we can't give that kind of effort, you're not going to do it because it's not fair to you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look, we all value our time very highly. I can tell you that because I've been friends with these guys for a while. You know, my time is very limited, as is Jason and Chad's.
Mm-hmm.
And so is yours. Yours is very valuable too. You spend an hour plus listening to the show. So
if it's
an hour plus of crap, you're never getting that hour back.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny thing about time. So, you know, it's important that you still be able to deliver it on a quality level.
Yeah, and it's weird too because, you know, when you're in your teens and your 20s, you don't really realize how valuable time is. It's really when you hit your 30s and me, I'm going to be 40 at the end of this year.
Boo.
Trust me, I know. I mean, time is the most valuable thing you can give me right now. Time is more important than any amount of money. Any game, anything right now.
Because I had an extremely large check to bribe you back onto the show, but now that you say that, I'll just go take it.
And you know what? I don't know if it would be worth it, honestly. I mean, and seriously, it's because, again, my main reason for leaving is the fact that I have to go away for a year. I have to leave my family, my wife, and my three sons. I have to basically say goodbye to them and leave for almost a year. And I feel like I have to spend every bit of free time that I have with them now before I go away. Like, I would be doing them such a disservice by even pretending to try to be engaged in this show. As much as I want to, and as much as appreciative of, as I am of our listeners, because, God, we have had such a great outpouring since we announced the end of the format as it is. And I'm so appreciative of that. But at the same time, I can't do that to my family right now. You know, I've got three young children. My boys are 8, 9, and 13 years old. A very critical time in their life when they need their dad around as much as humanly possible. And I honestly haven't even broken the news to them that I'm leaving yet, which, it's still kind of up in the air when I'm going away. It's probably going to be like August, September timeframe. But I feel like I need to spend as much time with them as I can right now. So that's the biggest driving factor in addition to all these other little things that have been kind of adding up over time.
That makes sense. So yeah, one of the Ryan's all on the chat mentioned that I haven't mentioned why I'm stopping the cast, because obviously Bob mentioned that him and Dick are looking at taking over. The reason my stop is coming is because as we were going through it, I love evaluating new cards. I love evaluating the decks with these guys and also responding to all the great questions and ideas that people have in our group, because we formed an amazing community over the time. We've done 70 episodes. I didn't think we were going to last an entire year.
Yeah.
And
it's almost two now.
Yeah. And we've just been blasting through it. And it's for me, it was great. And every time I talk to these guys, that's not like I'm going to stop, is awesome. But it became something, where I was just starting to research for you guys and wasn't doing anything for myself. I know that I've pitched, they left me. So this is what happens when I talk about it. So, I know that I've pitched that I play Smite and now Overwatch. The game has come out by Blizzard, and I am starting to get really in-depth in that. I want to go competitive with that if I can and see how deep down that rabbit hole I can go. Magic, and another thing is time for me. I've only been able to play Magic here and there just because of family and other game constraints, and with that, I felt that moving on to a different thing was the best choice for me. And it just happened to fall in the same time that Jason did. So so that's why. Yeah, everybody left. If you are listening to this, everybody left when I started talking about it. Back.
I just had to check my stove for a minute and make sure it wasn't completely on fire.
I got you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and for my part, if I do not continue on here... you know, I work a pretty demanding job. I run my family's businesses. Working with family is not the easiest thing. It's very rewarding, but it's not the easiest thing. And along with several operating businesses, I also run a couple of charities. One of them happens to be in West Africa, which means that I'll be taking and have taken trips over there throughout my life, but I'm going to have to go back there. You know, and it's just... it's a lot of stuff on my plate, and you know, I'm still going to go play Magic. I mean, Christ, I co-own a store, so I think it would be hard for me to just totally get away from it. But you know, I haven't been to the store in like 3 weeks.
Yes,
life, you know, life is difficult. I was physically out of the country in Hong Kong for two of those, and then I moved. I've gone from work to my house to unpacking boxes to sleep. Yeah. Kind of rinse and repeat for the last week. So if, you know, that's kind of where I'm at, and I have to make that decision as well.
Yeah. And as far as we say, and Jason mentioned it earlier, but I want to piggyback on that. We're not dropping Magic by any means. We're not forgetting the game. Like if Jason and I meet up and we just happen to have decks, or he has two decks or I have two decks, we'll definitely play games. It's one of those things. We just can't devote the time for Standard, and because Standard is such a devotion of time, because you listen, like Bob was saying, you listen to all these great podcasts because you're listening to us, and you just need to look at all the decks, look at the different metas that's happening, and see where you can go from there. But yeah, sometimes it becomes so demanding, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are like, oh man, another week of Higher Standards. We got to keep up on the, it's homework. It basically comes down to that.
Right. Yeah. Imagine if you're listening to Higher Standards, if that's a chore for you, then you need to start evaluating things. But yeah, no, I mean, doing the show, it has become a chore. And again, it's all about that time. You know, I don't want to say there's better things I could be doing with my time, but there's more important things in my life right now that I need to be doing with my time.
That's the way life works out.
Right. And, you know, again, like Chad said, we're not just saying, ah, screw this game. Magic's stupid. It's dead. No, not at all. Magic the Gathering is a fantastic game. Yeah. Magic the Gathering Richard Garfield, that guy's a genius, because what he created, something that's lasted 22 years and is still going with the business model that he had, making it a collectible card game like it is, it's phenomenal in the way Wizards of the Coast has kept it going. It's been great, and I am 100% sure that at some point down the road, this will probably be like 2 to 3 years down the road, I'm going to start buying packs again. I might start buying boxes again. I might start playing Standard again. Never say never. I'm never going to say, I'm never playing Standard again, or I'm never playing Magic again, because that's just not true. That would be just a flat out lie right now.
Yeah, definitely. And, as well as that, I mean, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but when we gave our farewell post, or when you gave the farewell post for us, Jason, mm-hmm. we must have had an influx of 10 to 15 people that joined the Facebook group.
Yeah, I don't know if
it was word of mouth from other people, because obviously they didn't read the post. Yeah. We didn't post anything elsewhere. So I don't know if it was word of mouth from that, or just that people didn't see our cast coming out, so they're like, oh man, I might as well join the group to see what's actually going on.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh geez, now...
But yeah, after you post that, we got an influx. Everybody was very upset, but very appreciative of everything that we have done. And that's what Magic is. Magic builds a community. Magic builds... And it's not like we started as nothing. Episode one, we were just like, let's see where this goes. And we've got 288 people in our Facebook group. And even if Bob and Dick decide not to progress with the standards, the Facebook group can keep on progressing and keep building. The community doesn't have to stop, because that's what Magic is. It's something that brings people together.
Yeah, and you know, this is actually a great segue into the next thing that I wanted to point out, because you know, this isn't all bad. We may have some negative things to say about Wizards and Magic right now, but it's not all bad, because Magic was so important for me at a very crucial time in my life, because when I started playing like Magic competitively back in 2010, 2011, and this is going to be kind of sad to say, but I didn't have any friends. Like, legitimately, 5 years ago, the only friends I had was Chad and a mutual friend of ours, Jeremy.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody outside of my work or my family in New Jersey, because first of all, I'm not from this area, but the military brought me out here and I've kind of stayed here. I didn't really make anybody or make any friends outside of work until I started playing Magic and until I started going out to F&M's. I kind of on a whim, because Chad and I had been playing Magic a little more competitively. We'd been playing a lot of Standard. I decided, hey, I'm going to start going to F&M's. Why not? Let's see if I can kind of up my game.
Yeah.
And I started going out to this, this local store that we had out here. And that was when I started meeting some just awesome people. I mean, obviously Bob, I met Bob at this, this location. But this is when I met guys that we've talked about even on the show, like, Bernard Liberati, Dick Burns, Neil DeMarco, Ian Hendry, Don Parian. I met all these guys just because I decided on a whim to just go to this store that was near where I lived, and just start playing F&Ms. And over time, you know, you really develop these relationships with these people that were complete strangers not too long ago, but now all of a sudden you're calling these guys friends. And a lot of these guys, like more guys that I met throughout, were Josh Koth, Ed Morgan. Ed Morgan is probably the best human being I've ever met in my life. Like, seriously. Brandon Thrasher, Jared Trotton, Rich Salas, so many people. Sean Haight, so many guys that I've met just playing at local F&Ms that are just like, just great, great people. And, you know, I can't even say how important it was, to meet people through this game. And then after we started the show, like all the listeners that we got and all the people we started interacting with after we spun up the show, it was phenomenal.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the help we got from the community that we built.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, the feedback that we got, that all the positivity that we got back from people, it was a real confidence booster, honestly.
In a venue like the interwebs, where negativity is usually the most pervasive thing ever.
Yeah,
you know, like for every nice comment, there's 30 horrific evil comments. Mm-hmm. It was really surprising. I mean, it was. Well, go ahead, Chad. I'll talk last, since I was the last kind of addition to this show.
No, I was just going to piggyback on that. I don't think we ever had a negative comment towards the show. It was constructive, but it was always constructive criticism that that helped the show along. It was never anything that, like, if people didn't like the show, they never mentioned it. They just didn't say anything or left the group or whatever.
Yeah, and we did get some constructive feedback. We just said, oh, well, I like when you guys do this. I don't like when you guys do this. Yeah. We never got, oh, you fucking guys suck. You guys need to get off the air. Fuck your show.
Yeah.
We never got anything like that.
I mean, I thought about making a fake email and sending it a couple of times, but...
So you were all the new people that just joined the Facebook group.
No.
Bob and all of his Facebook aliases.
It's like, this will bring them back.
Yeah.
I mean, for my part, I started out here as a guest for most people probably remember that. And
yeah.
I think I asked Chad and Jason to pretty much be a regular because, you know, I listened to the show. I mean, that's kind of how Jason and I became friendly. I had seen Jason at the store and I played him a bunch of times. And I mean, I knew him, but we really didn't talk or hang until the show because I listened to the show and I was like, wow, you know, these guys, well, and it was useful because I knew Jason personally. I was like, okay, well, these guys are just like me.
Yeah.
You know? And they make all the same mistakes I do. I know because I've seen Jason go on tilt when he's made.
I think too, the first time I ever mentioned you on the show was like, you would beat me with some janky combo deck, right?
No. I was playing Jeskai Ascendancy.
Yeah. Janky combo deck. Yes.
God, really? No, actually that deck took a lot of skill and I didn't beat what happened. No, the story goes that I was at like one life and I had screwed up. I just played terribly. And I was just like, you know, it was game three or it was game two and you had won the first one. And I'm like, you know what, man, you were playing Mardu. And I was like, you got it, man. And you're like, really? I mean, you're not dead yet. I don't know if you're dead on board. Like, you want to keep playing? I'm like, all right, sure. And then I beat you from one life. I think I drew a Jeskai charm with a bunch
of tokens. That's right. I remember that.
Game three and I won. And you were not a happy person.
No, but I mean, yeah,
we're lucky this is FNF.
but I do have to say this, and I've told Jason this subsequent. Like, that was a real, you know how you have level up moments when you're playing this game? Mm-hmm. Well, for me, that was a giant one. That was huge because, I mean, that taught me that it's never over until it's over.
Yeah.
Like, you're not dead until you're at zero life. And it taught me a very valuable lesson that you never, ever freaking concede, ever.
Yeah.
I don't ever concede. And I've told stories like this on the show since then. Like, there have been times where I've been in competitive games. I mean, you know, with like money or whatever on the line where I've been dead on board and my opponent has been like, pass. I'm like, okay, draw my card and won. You know, I mean, you know, there have been several times that I can think of off the top of my head where I have been completely dead on board and my opponent just doesn't see it.
Yeah.
So I think getting back to what I was saying, you know, this show for me was such a really cool and special thing because first off, I've never podcasted before. This is my first one.
Oh yeah, ever. Neither had we.
Yeah.
I've never. And it made me realize that there were a lot of other people when I joined the Facebook group and started doing the show regularly. There were like a lot of other people out there that were exactly like me and made mistakes. And and then when we started interviewing pros and hearing their funny stories, it's like, oh, well, you're not gods either.
Yeah.
I mean, you always knew these guys put their pants on the same way as we do. Well, most of them probably put their pants on the same way. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know, it humanized the game for me and drove me to be competitive or more competitive than I was because it was suddenly possible as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
You know, whereas before, guys like, you know, LSV or guys like, you know, Ross Marion or Jim Davis, like you saw them on Twitch. I mean, they're not celebrities by any stretch of the imagination, but they are extremely skilled players, very good at what they do. And you know, it took away that I could never do that factor.
Yeah. And then, you know, especially when we started interviewing guys like Dan Ward, Brian Bronduin, those guys, they're the guys that are kind of on the cusp, those guys that are just about to break out, you know, they just need those one or two more events to kind of put them over the top. And talking to them, they were just such good dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan especially. Dan's awesome, who just recently top eighted a GP. What was that? It wasn't Oakland. Oh no, it was New Jersey, wasn't it?
I believe so. Yeah.
See, that shows how kind of out of touch I've been lately. But yeah, Dan Ward, longtime guest of the show. He just Yeah, he just top eighted the GP. Great on him for that performance. But again, just a phenomenal dude, and not your typical pro player at all, I would think. I mean,
yeah.
Of course, you missed one of his episodes, Chad, I think.
Yeah, I was here for the second one.
Okay. But yeah, Dan was awesome, and had we continued with the show as normal, I definitely would have pushed Bob to get Dan back, because he's still doing just phenomenally right now.
Nah, he's on fire right now, man.
Yeah, so
and that's the other thing. I mean, if Bob and Dick, I'll definitely attest this to Bob. If Bob and Dick continue with the show, Bob's got no problem getting guest stars. Yeah. You do not.
I don't know about that. I get shot down a lot.
Yeah, but you're the persistent, so that's why it's good.
Yeah, and that was another great great thing about bringing you on, man. You've been able to deliver as far as like these pro players and everything else. You know, you brought us Jim Davis, you brought us BBD, you brought us Dan Ward,
Shaheen Serrani.
Oh yeah, Shaheen, man.
Serrani.
Yeah, that was my.
That was your favorite.
Yeah, that was my yeah, because you know, I worship the ground that dude walked on. So
he's a good dude too.
Yeah, yeah, no, and that's the best part, the fact that the guys that we've talked to have been just great guys just in general. When for the longest time, my opinion of most pro players was I could do without any of them. Because I saw a lot of them as kind of elitists, as guys who felt like they were just above everybody else.
Yeah.
And then we started talking to some of these other guys, some of these other, these grinders, like again, BBD, Dan Ward, Jim Davis, that were just like, just super cool dudes to talk to.
Agreed.
I think we have a question. I don't know. Bernie's trying to ask a question.
Oh yeah. Bernard, we already talked about him once today. Hopefully he heard that, but, yes, Bernard, ask your question. While Bernard is thinking about his question, I do want to kind of talk about something else too. What are we going to do afterwards? So Bob, I mean, there's a possibility that you may be staying with the Higher Standards brand.
Yes,
right. Regardless of whether I do or not, I mean, I I've got work's really kind of just kicked up a lot, which is a good thing. Trust me, that's a good thing. Better to be busy than not busy. So I'll be doing that. I'll still be playing Magic, whether I play on or whether I still continue on Higher Standards. I'll still destroy Bernie at most local FNMs and games. Yeah. I'll still prove to him why Miracles is not the best deck in the Legacy format. Mm. But I'm not going anywhere in regard to the game.
Yeah. And cool. I mean, obviously Gamers Vault is still going strong. I gotta say, I wish everybody that was listening could experience going to that store and playing at that store, because wherever you play, it's not nearly as good as Gamers Vault. I'm just gonna say that right now, because what Bob and Dick have built over there in Medford, New Jersey, Southern New Jersey, you should go check it out, is just the best imaginable place you could think of to play at.
we're very lucky in that we have a lot of we have a lot of really good players that are regulars there, and that they're more than just customers. I mean, they've kind of woven themselves into the fabric of what that store is, and we're very blessed that it's kind of worked out. I mean, we're also back on the show circuit right now. Dick's headed out to the next GP right now, as a matter of fact.
They're in what, Minneapolis?
Yeah, Minneapolis. I believe he's at Mall of America. He was at Mall of America on his way out there today. Yeah, he and Josh Koth, our store manager, and Danielle, his girlfriend, they were all at Mall of America. And
yeah, apparently they stole $35,000 from the store and they just decided to fund a vacation.
I mean, that's basically what it is.
That's what I thought.
But, so we'll be back. Well, Dick will be back out with the gamers, flying the Gamers Vault banner, at a lot of the GPs and SCG opens and stuff. So, we're very thankful for everybody who comes out. And, I know we kind of say this every show, but really, if you guys are in South Jersey, any of you, you always will find a welcoming, an open door at the store. Yeah. And, you can, we allow people to just come play. I mean, that was kind of why Dick and I started the store, because the old store we went to, you could only come and play Magic on like Wednesday or whatever day it was. You could only play board games there on certain days. And it was like, man, this is stupid, you know? Like, it's a gaming store, for Christ's sake. Exactly. You should be able to come in and play a game anytime you want, and you should be able to play whatever game you want. I mean, come on.
Yep.
We're lucky that we've been able to reproduce that.
Yeah, no, and again, it's phenomenal. Like, the group that plays there, they're good. I mean, they have a very solid core of really good Magic players there. But I think that's to their benefit, too, because we've mentioned it before on the show that when you surround yourself with really good players, that kind of forces you to elevate your own game.
Exactly.
And to kind of, like, play better so you can keep up with these people. So we got a couple of questions in the YouTube chat from Bernard Liberati, former guest on the show, good friend of mine, good friend of Bob's. Bob, when are you ever going to play Magic again?
Hopefully next week. So as I've said several times, but I'll just repeat it, I was in Hong Kong for 2 weeks and then moved. And so sick burn, Jason. So so then I moved, and I've been spending the last week unpacking boxes, and I literally just unpacked my cards today. For those of you that either don't move often or haven't moved, like, you unpack your kitchen, your bedroom, and your bathroom first, like that, and then you worry about everything else. So anyway,
yeah, if I ever move again, I'm paying somebody to do everything.
I did this time around, and it was worth every frigging penny.
I hate moving so much. Oh my god. Okay, so anyway,
Hopefully I will be out next week.
All right.
Cool.
Bernard has a question for me too. Chad, you want to read his question and then I can answer?
Sure. He says, I know that he's leaving MTG. Does he expect to return?
Well, I mean, we've already answered that. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I've already mentioned that I'm not quitting Magic for good per se. I'm just, for now, I have to go do other things. But I mean, the game will always be a part of my life. And yeah, at some point I will return. It may be, like I said, 2 or 3 years down the line, but I'll be back.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll play Standard. I kept a couple of Modern decks worth of cards. I mean, I did sell a good portion of my collection over the last month, but I still have 2 Tier 1 Modern decks together and then a whole bunch of other random cards. So I'll always play Magic. If nothing else, I'll just play casually with my son for the next year or two until I'm ready to come back. But yeah, it's never say never for anything.
Believe me, it's not like we're leaving the show and not going to look at the spoilers, because how can you not look at the spoilers that come out?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm watching these Eternal Master spoilers right now. I'm like, wow, that's pretty sweet that they're reprinting all these cards.
You're like, how much money would I have spent if I was still
playing? Yeah, you know, I mean, honestly, if I was like as serious
exactly
into Magic, yeah, if I was as serious into Magic right now as I was. Oh god, did you buy some Eternal Masters?
Just be quiet, Jason. Just keep talking. Yeah,
we should just be quiet.
All right. So so we kind of talked about Bob and what he's going to be doing. Chad, you've got some really exciting stuff coming up.
I guess.
So why don't you talk to us a little bit about what you're going to be doing now that you're kind of moving on from Higher Standards?
All right. So because Jason was stepping away, as I mentioned earlier, it kind of gave me, for lack of better words, an open door. And Blizzard, the company that has done Diablo 3, Warcraft, World of Warcraft, Starcraft, everything, any game that you think is on the top of Twitch, it's there. And they just released a new game, Overwatch, which is supposed to be the Team Fortress 2 of team playing games.
Right.
So it's basically going to have a meta. It's going to have people that you need to counter. And I started playing the game. I found it very enjoyable in the beta, and I'm looking at starting up a podcast for that. So that's going to be my new venture in the gaming community. Plus, I'm going to be doing a lot of editing and posting on YouTube about the game as well, and as well as going into the competitive scene.
Okay, so like Overwatch for sure. I mean, are you going to keep going with Smite also? Because I know you've been a big Smite player for
that is a correct, while. But Overwatch has taken it over. I've always been more of a first person player. I really liked where Smite was going, but the scene is a little saturated, so I'm trying to start out fresh with this new game.
Yeah, I played Smite, or not Smite, but Overwatch the free beta weekend, It was fun. I really enjoyed it a lot. So I may be joining you over there at Overwatch. So
and obviously, if anybody plays in the group, I'm still going to stay in higher standards. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not
getting out of the group by any means. But if anybody wants to send me a message, feel free to send me your gamer name, and we'll hit some games up.
Cool. Bob, have you played any of the Overwatch beta, or have you followed any of that?
I am not a big fan of first-person shooters. Sorry to tell you guys that.
That's all good. All right, you look more like an RTS player.
I'm playing. I've been messing around with Stellaris a little bit, which is like a four-time strategy sort of. It's like Civilization almost.
Yeah, Civilization 5 just got released.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like where Civ's been going lately, but yeah.
All right.
So as far as I go, talking about games and everything. It's so funny because Magic the Gathering and MMORPGs, massive online role-playing games, have really kept me over the past two decades from playing a lot of games that I've kind of wanted to get into and play. Because obviously I played Magic the Gathering a lot, and it's taken up a lot of my time. And MMOs, I've played a lot of EverQuest, and then I played a lot of World of Warcraft. And those kind of kept me from doing a lot of other things that I wanted to do. And I know I'm going to be spending a lot of time with my family, but when the boys go to bed, there's a lot of video games that I kind of want to try to finish.
Yeah.
I've been playing Fallout 4 lately. I bought Fallout 4 back in, November, whenever the hell it came out. Played like the first 5 minutes of it and then just immediately set it to the side so I could play more Magic. I'm finally trying to finish Fallout 4. Trying to finish Skyrim.
Fallout 4 has an expansion coming out as well.
I know, and I've gotten as far as 5 minutes into the game. So Skyrim, same thing. I never finished Skyrim, but a big reason of that is because I hated it because of the dumbed down RPG elements. Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion, by the way, is my favorite video game of all time, if anybody cares.
It's a good one.
The greatest video game ever made, bar none. If you are a role-playing game fan, Oblivion is just by far the best game you can ever play. They dumbed down a lot of the RPG elements in Skyrim, so I've been trying to slog through that. It's been pretty rough. Chad mentioned Blizzard. I'm a big Blizzard guy. I love the Diablo series. I love the StarCraft series. And I haven't been able to finish the most recent StarCraft 2 expansion. I never finished the base Diablo 3 game. I'm trying to play a lot of these games that I missed out on because of Magic, because of these MMOs that I play that have just sucked up all of my time. So that's kind of where I am. And I'm trying to incorporate that. I know you guys can go ahead and get it out now. Yes, Project VCR. I do like to plug my other stuff.
You have another podcast.
Yes, yes,
oh,
yes.
Oh.
Get it out. Come on, let's just get it over with.
I didn't know that you had that. What is it?
Project.
So does it like, do you watch VHS tapes or?
No, they fix VCRs.
Oh.
Yeah, something like that.
They're like, this is how you adjust the time because it's always flashing 12.
Yeah. So, Project VCR is going to continue, pretty much at the same pace that it has. A new episode every 2 to 3 weeks, but we may also start incorporating vintage video game reviews into the show. So, Doug and I have been talking about that. We're talking about rebranding the whole Project VCR thing. It kind of all goes back to like the amount of available free time that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much I can really commit to it, but we're talking about doing something with that. But Project VCR is still continuing. We recorded a new episode 2 weeks ago that I haven't posted yet. We recorded a review of Dawn of the Dead, the original Dawn of the Dead, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I said it in that episode, and I'll say it now. If you're one of these guys that every Sunday night you're like, oh, the new Walking Dead is out, I can't wait, or I can't believe they did this, and you've never seen Dawn of the Dead, go fuck yourself, okay? Seriously.
Would you please tell us all how you really feel?
I just did. So, seriously, Dawn of the Dead is the best zombie movie, TV show, video game experience you'll ever experience. Dawn of the Dead, 1979. Go watch it. Our review of that movie will be popping up soon. So anyway, so we should actually talk some Magic today, right, guys?
Yeah.
You think we should? I mean, I kind of wanted to throw it out there. Not standard specific, but I mean, just Magic in general. Like, how do you guys feel about the game in general, the direction it's going? just really just, do you think it's going to keep flourishing like it has? Do you think the numbers are going to keep going up? Do you think it's plateaued? Really, I mean, what do you guys think overall?
All right, so first thing I have to commit to this one is they need to fix MTGO. In order for them to hit the scene that Blizzard or League or any scene that has some kind of interaction, and the big one, and I know it's like the big competitor right now to MTGO, is Hearthstone, and it's just eye candy. Blizzard has the eye candy that MTGO needs, and if they don't support it, then they won't be able to get on an esports scene, which is what they need. And if people don't know what that is, it's electronic sports. It's becoming a bigger and bigger thing. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but if you're watching YouTube, a lot of commercials for esports start coming on more often than not. And it's one of these things that if MTGO doesn't evolve to become what it is, it's just going to be a paper game.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was going to kind of wait for the Hearthstone stuff, but we might as well throw it out there right now. I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone over the last month since I quit Magic. And
this is where everybody shuts off their podcast.
Well, right. And you know what? I'll keep it as short as possible. Hearthstone, the more I play it, the more I realize Blizzard just is oblivious as far as their digital offerings. Paper Magic is great the way it is. I mean, the way they make cards and their development and all that could use a little adjusting, but the digital offerings that Blizzard has, or that Wizards has, is just, it's so like third world country compared to Hearthstone. It's not even comparable.
And, are you saying Hearthstone is not for people in third world countries?
No, not at all.
Okay.
yeah. No, I mean, seriously, it's just, if you play Hearthstone for any amount of time, you just kind of realize how well they get that right as far as the digital space. They could never make Hearthstone work as a paper product, and I think that's where Magic kind of has the advantage, because it does have that social aspect when you're playing it in paper with real people face to face. But I think Hearthstone got the entire digital aspect of this genre completely correct. And I think Wizards, they just, I don't know if they can catch up, honestly.
I'm sure they need a lot of development, but I don't know if they want to put that much development into something like that, that they also have on paper, just because I mean, you see like the numbers advancing for GPs. So obviously it's out there.
Yeah, and the fact that they're just starting to cap GPs at this point, where at the competitive level, they've got too much demand, which is weird to think about.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's too much demand for competitive Magic, which is good in a sense, but I mean, it's bad if they're trying to grow their numbers.
Yeah.
Bob, you got anything to contribute?
I'll go last. Go ahead, Chad.
No, I'm good.
Okay. So where do I think Magic's going and the state of the game, all that good stuff? I think that, particularly with the new, it's not so new anymore, change that's come to, how Magic's treating, you know, pros as far as payouts, and, you know, they've kind of changed the payout next year for silver status, and, there's rumors that they may do away with the Hall of Fame, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they seem to be taking, and I of course don't know what they're actually thinking, but they seem to be taking this tact where they're saying, look, as far as pros are concerned, you're not as important to us as you may have once been, or it's not as much. Let me back up. It's not as much of a priority.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's a bad thing. No. Be really honest with you.
Yeah.
I think that Wizards is kind of at this crossroads here. They've been there for a while, but they're still there. And that is, they can either figure out how to jump the game digitally, you know, jumpstart it and get it up and running better digitally, and capitalize on their Twitch stream, because they don't at all.
Yeah.
You know, or they can just stick to being a paper game. And I don't think either way is bad. Don't get me wrong. But here's the thing. And this has been said before on this show. Wizards does not make money off the secondary market, by and large. They don't.
Right.
They make money off of selling Seal product. And I don't know, and I mean this, I don't know how much the Pro Tour, for instance, really helps them sell Seal product anymore. You know, back in the day when the internet wasn't as prevalent, when Twitch didn't exist, the Pro Tour was a big deal because for a lot of people, that's where they saw new decks, and that's where you got new you saw a lot of the new cards get played. But now everybody and their brother's got a Twitch stream for MTGO or whatever. So that's kind of – it's just kind of not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only thing that the Pro Tour really affects anymore to a large extent is the secondary market, where guys like me and Dick and, you know, other game stores have to worry about it. And it drives, trust me, the weekend of the Pro Tour is like hell at our store. Like, poor Ed Gamble is like sitting there on the computer adjusting prices every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, where do I think the game's going? I don't know. Maybe it's going to take less of a concentration on pro players and more of on the casual scene. And by casual, I mean, you know, not that there will never be guys that are at the top of the game playing the best decks and destroying everybody else. That's always going to happen. Magic has this kind of hive collective now that just rounds up a set in like a week.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you know, they just, I guess what I'm saying is you may no longer be able to earn a living as a pro player playing Magic. You already kind of can't now, but they're certainly they're not making it easier.
Yeah. No, and that's a good point. And when this news first broke, again, like a month ago, I had this whole monologue prepared for like how I think people are overreacting and all that. But now that I've had time to think about it, it's tough to say like how this is really going to affect anything, because I asked you before the show, how many people really care that a guy like LSV or a guy like Brian Kibler are at the Pro Tour playing? I mean, really, does that sell any more packs for Wizards? The fact that Brian Kibler, a guy he's a Hearthstone guy now. He doesn't play Magic unless he's at a GP that happens to take place in California, or if he's at a Pro Tour that he gets free entry into, and that he gets appearance fees for. I mean, does anybody care at this point? I know I don't. I could give a rat's ass about any pros, that play at the Pro Tour. Because I know that there are guys there that earned those spots, that worked hard for those spots, and that are hungry to win that event. I may not know their names, I may not know who they are, but I know that they are working their asses off to try to win that Pro Tour, as opposed to these Platinum Pros or whatever the hell they are that just like, oh, another Pro Tour just rolled around. I guess I get to go and put together a deck and, you know. To just play again for free.
Yeah, but to be fair, a lot of those guys put in a lot of work for a long time, too.
They did. But does it matter? I mean, is it going to sell packs?
Sure.
Wizards?
No, and that's...
don't think it is.
No.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I certainly don't blame them for starting to pull back on all of these appearance fees and all that for these Platinum Pros. I mean, mm-hmm. I could care less about any of them, so...
Mm-hmm. Well... I mean, so that's, I guess, macro level. That's kind of where I think the game is going is, in the next year, it's probably going to have to make that decision on where it wants to go. And it'll be interesting to see where it takes that. I mean, it's not going to change my love for the game.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I guess my biggest question is, for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, every fall set has been the biggest selling set in Magic's history. It's been consistently increasing year over year. Have we plateaued yet? I mean, or do you? I personally feel like I'm starting to see a little bit less of an interest in the game overall. Does anybody else getting that feeling?
I don't know. Have we plateaued? I mean, look, GP numbers are up, right? I mean.
They are to an extent, but I mean, at this point, they kind of have to cap them too, so they can only get to a certain point.
That's true. I don't know. I don't know whether we plateaued or not. Hard to say.
Yeah, it's something that you just have to find out based off of attendance.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, one thing that I think Wizards really needs to figure out is their Eternal formats. Because I think they've been kind of, for the last decade or so, been kind of playing this... game where they're trying to figure out what they want to be their eternal format of choice, getting rid of extended, creating modern, and now there's rumors that before Eternal Masters hits, we're going to get another eternal format announced. Are they going to do away with Legacy? What's the story with Vintage? I think they need to, they really need to figure this out. And if they ever get rid of the reserve list, then they just need to freaking do it already.
Okay, so I will say this. If the reserve list goes, I think the game, I think a large part of the game is over.
Crashes.
How, yes. Though? Like, seriously, why? How many people really play Legacy and Vintage?
No, that's not what I'm getting at. If you get rid of the reserve list, it's a money grab.
Yeah, there's they'll get a bunch of people that just spend money on stuff like that, and
it allows the possibility for the game to go the way like Yu-Gi-Oh goes, where Yu-Gi-Oh will print cards until that card, if any card goes above like $10, Yu-Gi-Oh will just print cards until the card, we'll reprint that card in every set till it's not worth $10 anymore.
Right,
and that's what getting rid of the reserve list will. I'm not saying it'll happen overnight. I'm saying it's a very slippery slope.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't dispute that, but I mean, I think either way, they need to figure out what they want to do with their eternal formats. I mean, with modern, they've kind of started putting that on the right path where they've eliminated the modern Pro Tour. Hopefully they don't keep doing this modern ban list shuffle every couple of months, though I think they're still going to do it.
Yeah, and it's a rotating format like standard now.
Yeah, which, I mean, that kind of defeats the whole purpose, doesn't it?
Not if you want to sell more cards.
Yeah, it doesn't defeat the money purpose.
Sure. I don't know. I just feel like that's the biggest issue that needs to be addressed by Wizards is what the hell they want to do with their eternal formats, if anything. I mean, obviously, it's not their primary focus, whereas now every Pro Tour is standard, just period.
Yeah. Yep.
So it is what it is.
Indeed.
All right.
Cool.
Moving on, I have a whole bunch of thanks I want to throw out. So before I do you guys have any thanks or shout-outs that you want to give out to anybody at all as far as this show or Magic the Gathering itself is concerned?
Go ahead, Chad.
I thank no one. No. I feel like Jason's going to hit almost every person in the Facebook group, so I'm just going to give a blanket thanks to everybody that joined the Facebook group. And again, thanks to everybody that followed the Twitch stream when we were trying it on Twitch and then switched over to YouTube. Everybody that subscribed to the YouTube channel. And obviously, you guys know that I'm not going to be posting higher standards there unless Bob and Dick proceed and they want to use mine. That's fine to go forward. So if you want to continue to subscribe, feel free. I'm going to be going in a different direction. So I just want to thank everybody that's been hanging on with us. A big shout out to Renee because she was on the cast before. So obviously Bob knows that I thank him and I don't thank Jason ever. So there we go.
I would like to thank you, Jason and Chad, because you guys gave me an opportunity to talk about something I love a lot. And an opportunity to meet a lot of cool people, make new friends, which is always appreciated. Yeah. And you know, I consider you guys good friends of mine. And I don't know that we were as close. We obviously weren't as close before that we are now.
We were getting there for sure. I mean, again, because of that camaraderie we had with Magic and everything else. So
totally. So, you know, I think, Jason, you'll cover pretty much everybody else I could think of in relation to this show. I mean, can we do a no thanks? Are we allowed to do that?
If you want. I mean,
okay. All right.
The gloves are off. I mean, I've dropped quite a few F-bombs already in this show. So.
Gotcha. All right. I don't have anybody to no thanks.
Oh, man. I was just waiting for you to just bury some other local store owners. And
no. Nope. I am not petty.
No. Nope. But they have put two local stores out of business.
We have.
Okay, well, coincidentally, two local stores have gone out of business since Gamers Vault is open, so.
Well, whatever. You can draw whatever inference from that.
I just had to throw that out there, sorry.
All right. So, Jason, why don't we hit your thank you list since it's probably expensive?
It is. I want to start off by thanking Chad. Really, this whole thing, everything. all of this was Chad's initial idea, because when he and I first kind of started, and really, I'll kind of go back a little bit farther. Chad and I were acquaintances. We knew each other through a mutual friend of ours, Jeremy, that we've mentioned a lot. But, yeah. I mean, Chad and I think you can agree, Chad, that we weren't, like, the closest of friends back in those days when we first kind of met through Jeremy. It wasn't until we started playing Magic that we started, like, we both realized, hey, we both are really into this game. and we kind of started hanging out outside of that mutual friend that we had.
Do you mind if I tell a story?
Go for it.
So we were playing, Jeremy and I were playing. He invited this guy, Jason, over. And I'm like, oh, cool, another deck to play against. And at this point, I had built, like, some casual ally deck or some crap. and Jason comes in, and I swear, I was like, oh, this guy doesn't look too difficult. And we're playing a 1v1v1, and Jason drops an affinity deck. And I believe he dropped his whole hand on turn two.
Right.
Now remember, this was when Chad and Jeremy got me back into Magic after I had taken an 11-year break. So I just, like, put together, I didn't know anything about Standard, I didn't know anything about Banned or Restricted lists.
Yeah.
I just knew the cards that I had. So I put together a deck with, like, 4 Sol Rings, Talarian Academies.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Things to that effect.
Oh, you put together Vintage Affinity, Dirty Son. I mean, yeah. That's not even, how many Talarian Academies did you play in that deck?
So, I mean, I go, like, turn one land, tap it for a Sol Ring, tap that Sol Ring for another Sol Ring and another artifact, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. I can put out this Frogmite because I've got Affinity already. I'm just I'm like, what? So I look over and I'm like, what the hell just happened? I'm like, I think I might have had a mountain on the field.
Yeah.
Chad, pass. Chad's like, swamp, go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, okay. So then him and I started talking through Facebook or text, I think it was first. And I was like, dude, what happened that first game? And we just hit it off with Magic, and that's how it built.
Yeah, and that's kind of how we bonded. And it was from there when we started going to these Two-Headed Giant pre-releases together. And it was then where Chad's like, oh, you got to listen to all these Magic podcasts. And then he started to be, well, we should just do a podcast of our own. And at first I kind of blew it off. I'm like, nah, okay, sure we should. And then as I started listening to more of these Magic podcasts, and then again getting to the point where
I could do this.
Yeah, exactly. And where they were all hating on Standard. I love Standard. Standard was always my format of choice. I'm like, all right, Chad, let's do this and let's do a Standard podcast. So again, the initial idea all goes back to Chad, because he's the one who told me, he's like, hey man, we should do a Magic podcast together. So, so all the credit in the world go to him. I want to thank Bob again. We mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but his insights, the pro players he was able to convince to come onto the show were, I think, invaluable to the show. And, like, no shit, I want to say, like, had we continued this, had we all still been able to put in the same amount of time, effort, desire into this, 2-3 years from now, we would have been the best Magic podcast in existence. Like, no doubt the direction we were going. We're still one of the most downloaded podcasts on MTGCast. I mean, only rivaled by, like, Monday Night Magic and maybe Commander Cast, which is phenomenal. So I hate to leave this now when we're kind of on such a high note, but at the same time, why not go out when you're sort of on top, sort of like middle, upper middle, I guess.
Higher with the bill.
Exactly. A big thanks to Bob. Though he may never hear this, I want to give a big thanks to Chewy. You know him from Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool. He's the guy that encouraged me to get this going. He helped me. He told me what software I needed. He told me what I had to do to get these episodes posted to MTGCast and eventually to our own hosting server.
Yeah.
Angelo, also known as Gonksu from the Pinimps podcast. He was the guy that I tried to emulate as far as, like, an actual host of a Magic podcast. He was the guy that I looked up to and that I kind of idolized. And he's still going strong with Pinimps podcast. So go give them a listen. Ryan Brommel from, he started off at Pinimps podcast and then he branched off into his own Cast from Exile. Funniest dude you will ever listen to. in any Magic podcast. He's over the top. He's very opinionated. He's very vulgar, but I love the guy. Same with really all of the Cast from Exile guys. Matt Hoover, Ruben, and even Sid. Love all those guys. As far as listeners, huge, huge shout out to David Schmuck. I can't say enough about how important this guy has been to the show. He's been a regular contributor to our Facebook group. Every spoiler season, he would have all the new spoilers up first thing. We've had him as a guest on the show a couple of times. Dave, thank you so much for everything, all of the contributions you've made. It's been very, very important to us. I can't thank you enough. Hopefully we cross paths at some point in the future, because you're a great person. And I thank you so much.
Yeah, he is the spoiler sniper.
Yes, exactly. And then all the other listeners, we've got, I can't even list them all. We've got Ethan Richardson, Christian Bazinga, John Ramos, Kyle Norman, Jeremy London, Jason Alexander, Pete Grabins, Pete G, Dan Meyer, Aaron Kaufman, mm-hmm. guys that have all been with us for months and months or even years. I mean, I can't thank you guys enough, especially for all the positive feedback you've been giving us since we announced our departure from the show and everything else. You guys are the reason that we've kept doing this for almost 2 years now. Honestly, if we had gotten zero positive feedback and anything else, we may have stopped after three or four months. But we kept getting good feedback, and we kept getting all these people joining the Facebook group, which is still going strong. And by all means, keep joining the Facebook group, because Higher Standards will live on regardless. I mean, I really can't thank you guys all enough. This has been such a fantastic journey, and you're really the reason that I've kept playing Magic for so long and wanting to do this and wanting to put together good episodes for you guys.
Yeah,
I mean, Chad, you got anything?
No, man, you said it all. I, like, instead of Jason, whenever Jason said himself, he was speaking for all three of us, because all three of us are completely dedicated to the community, and we are so grateful that you guys are dedicated to us.
Yeah, Bob, anything else as far as, like, the listeners go? Everybody from the Facebook group?
No, I think you said it all.
Okay, so I know I've had a lot of guys, and again, this has been great, like all the feedback we've been getting. I saw one guy on the Facebook group post, I mean, the only shows I listen to are Monday Night Magic, The Mana Pool, and Higher Standards. You have no idea how good that makes me feel, that we put together this show that, you know, you guys all love and enjoy, and it's one of the only Magic shows that you listen to.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that we kind of had to end it so abruptly. Just, you know, life happens. It sucks. I really wish I could keep doing this, but just in my heart, I can't.
Stop apologizing. Life happens, Jason.
You're going to make me cry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm serious, though, because this has been very special to me, and I'm sure to you guys, too.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, this amazing reaction we've gotten from all the listeners. It means more than you guys know. I'll just say that.
Definitely.
And you know, there now that you have this big gap in your life where this podcast may not be, at least for now, not going away completely, but I've got some suggestions for podcasts you can listen to in our absence. Cast from Exile is the first one. Those guys they're our brother podcast. They started pretty much the same week that we as Higher Standards started. You know, Ryan, and all those guys, they're not the most in-depth podcast. They don't go deep into deck lists or anything like that, but they're funny as hell, and they have some really great interviews. They get all of the good pros on their show. A lot of guys that we've kind of gotten their sloppy seconds from, too. So go listen to those guys, because they put on a very entertaining show. The MTG Goldfish podcast was one of the last real Magic podcasts that I listened to on a regular basis. They deal with a lot of financial stuff, but they do go into tournament reports and all the formats. So go listen to the MTG Goldfish podcast. If you're looking for something outside of Magic podcasts, the Sofa King podcast. They are kind of our illegitimate child. I don't know if you want to get into that whole story, but they may not even exist without Higher Standards. Sofa King podcast is awesome. Go listen to those guys. They talk about all kinds of stuff, current events, conspiracy theories. They're interviewing Rob Van Dam this week for their next episode. And if you don't know who Rob Van Dam is, he's a pro wrestler from the 90s and 2000s. Pretty cool guy. Cool. And go, if you like video games, especially like classic vintage video games, go listen to Retronauts. That's like been my number one podcast over the last few weeks. They review a lot of vintage video games from like the old NES era, the Genesis, a lot of old PC games, N64, stuff like that. So it's, if you ever played games from there or you want to listen to reviews from old games from that era, go listen to those. Do you guys have any recommendations?
I know, yeah, that was a little long-winded. I mean, I would definitely go listen to Top Level Podcast. That's Patrick Chapin and Michael Flores. Most of you probably know who Chapin is. If you don't know who Michael Flores is, you should, because he's not a big pro nowadays, but he was probably responsible. He was a massive contributor on a website called The Dojo and a couple other websites, and he wrote an article that has basically defined magic strategy.
Really?
Yep. It's called Who's Got the Beatdown? And if you haven't read it, you need to stop right now from listening to this podcast. Pull over. Go ahead, pull over. All right, I don't want you to get an accident. All right, now pull out your phone and Google it and go read it. Because if you're playing in any sort of semi-competitive level, you need to read that article. But anyway, it's a really good podcast. They're funny guys, and they talk mostly about Standard, because Chapin is a pretty big Standard fan. So is Mike, but they bleed into other stuff and they talk spoilers, and it's just a good podcast. So I enjoy listening to it.
Good deal.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as me, instead of podcasts are concerned, and I don't know if it's the safest thing, but I I listen to streams as I'm driving. So I've got streams going on in the background, and a lot of good Magic Standard players are playing all times of the day. So feel free to go check those guys out on Twitch.
And don't be surprised if you find out Chad died in a fiery car crash.
That's right. It won't be fiery. I'll just like flip or something.
Because he was watching Twitch streams as he was driving to work.
Oh my God, that play.
So, I mean, at this point, the future of Higher Standards, it may still continue. Don't leave the Facebook group, because we're not. I'm still going to be in there. Keep posting in there, and by all means, go into the Facebook group and discuss Standard strategy. That's why we built that in the first place. It wasn't to just try to build fans for the show. It was for a way for people to interact, bounce deck ideas off of each other, talk about upcoming spoilers and all that. So continue to join the Facebook group. We're almost at 300 people on there. So there's a lot of diverse people in there, a lot of great ideas. So continue to look at that. And again, Higher Standards may continue. It may be without myself and Chad, but it has a very good chance that it will continue. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, you're definitely not losing the talent if it keeps going.
Yes, exactly. The talent. So, all right, it's pretty much time to say our final goodbyes. So, I mean, anything else you guys want to throw out there? Now's the time.
Bob, you go first.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't have anything to throw out there. If, you know, Dick and I are going to talk when he gets back, and we'll figure it out. And, you know, obviously we will update you guys. It may be a couple weeks if we decide to come back on, because we'll, you know, have to square some stuff away and get some software straightened out and all that other kind of stuff. So, you know, we'll try to update you as quickly as possible. Just hang in there one way or another.
Yeah. Same thing here. I just want to thank every single person who's ever listened to the show, given us any kind of feedback, positive or negative. A couple people I forgot to mention when I was shouting out listeners, James Tennant, the ultimate troll.
Jason would feed him every chance he got.
James, man. One of these days I'm going to have to find out which bridge you live under and come visit you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can go ahead and just say this now. There was a point, James, God, I hope you're listening. Where when it was still me, Chad, and Renee, this was within the first 4 or 5 months of the show.
I remember.
And I wrote in our Facebook chat between myself, Chad, and Renee, I'm like, I'm going to kick James from the group. I can't stand this guy. He's a fucking asshole. I don't want this guy in the Facebook group anymore. And it took me a long time to kind of realize that he was again just a huge troll.
I had to talk Jason off that bridge of pushing James off of
it. Yeah. But it wasn't until I realized, like, you know, he listens to the show every week. He gives us good feedback every week. He just likes to troll people at the same time.
His feedback is just in the strangest connotations you would ever think to make.
Oh, and apparently he lives close to David Schmuck, as we're seeing in the YouTube chat. So, but yeah, and another funny story, Travis McFarlane, who's also kind of branched off and done his own podcasting stuff, he posted in the Cast from Exile Facebook group once, "Fuck James Tennant! I can't stand that guy!" So, so you've made quite a reputation for yourself, my friend.
You're doing it right.
Yep. But as far as saying goodbye, I just want to say, you know, it's never officially goodbye, because never say never. We've mentioned it before. I'm not saying I'm done with Magic forever. I'm just done with Magic for right now.
Yeah.
Never say never. Thank you to everybody that's listened, given us feedback or anything else. Chad, what do you got?
Oh, so when I was away, I guess you both hit it. To piggyback on both of what those guys said, thanks to all the community. Don't count us out, just count us as friends, because that's what we've all become. Like Dave mentioned it in the chat, Dave Schmuck, he said 288 people. It's almost like a family, and that's what it became. It became someone where you don't have to be worried about posting something in the group and having somebody else in the family come back at you. And if somebody did, then somebody else would defend you. It was crazy. So there were some conversations with new brews or new cards or new evaluations on cards where somebody would mention something and somebody else would immediately be like, no, that doesn't make sense. And then somebody else would counter that to be like, it could make sense in this type of deck or in this type of thing if they release something like this. So feel free again to post anything. Again, we will be posting. I love watching spoilers. I love evaluating new cards, seeing Jason's the money master. So he likes seeing if it's going to rise or fall.
Yep.
I'm sure he's going to buy 50 of a single card and see it go up to $2 and then sell it off. But,
He
says he's not going to buy cards, but he's going to buy like really awkward cards and he's going to buy them at like, you'll just see the store sell out and you'll be like, oh, Jason's been here. But,
I still have like 4 play sets of Ojutai's Command, just so you know. So.
Not to mention his new job is going to allow him to get all that money to do it. So, that being said, feel free to keep on the channel, keep on the Facebook group, keep on the YouTube channel, and I will be continually posting things, and hopefully the Overwatch podcast goes well.
Yeah. And, we'll keep posting those updates in the Facebook group. So, I am looking forward to hearing the Overwatch podcast. So
cool.
See how that goes. Bob, any last words?
No, you guys said it all.
All right. Well, until next time, we might be back.